Hi, greetings. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio. Also, we're also broadcasting, simulcasting on eSETI Stargate on YouTube, and where you can come in and talk to the guests and a lot of past guests that come in as well. A lot going on out there right now. I know we this is a time-sensitive thing. This is actually brought recorded on the 23rd. So when this comes out, some of these things will already be finished. But I don't know if you watch the debates or the other things, but oh my God, it was a slaughter. And it's continuing to be a slaughter with all the fact checkers and everything else. But without going there, I've got some other news too. We've got a lot of crazy things happening in the heavens. We've got, we're coming out of one of the meteor showers, and there is more stuff coming in than ever. I think, I can't remember what we are right now. I think it was 1,200 fireballs usually come in a year, and we're at like 5,000. So there's something big going on. That we're having some pretty big earthquakes right now. The magma's flowing. So hang on, we're going to go through some severe weather and some crazy changes coming up here real soon. So on that note, I want to bring our guest on, Niara. Hope I'm saying this right, Niara Torella Isley, and she's been a spiritual seeker from the cradle up, having discovered a disturbing 3-month block of missing time from 1980 during her tour of duty in the U.S. Air Force. Niara underwent hypnosis to investigate this and other memories and strange dreams from childhood. What she discovered turned her life inside out for many years, launching her into in-depth study and research to find out what happened to her and why, and in what political and social context. Also suffering from post-traumatic stress, PTSD herself, she had to find ways to heal from that ensuing from the emotional fallout. That healing journey has been an awakening to the multidimensional universe we all live in, a lifelong learner across the broad spectrum of disciplines, including various sciences, personal growth, and spiritual practice. Niara's healing process opened her up to amazing insights about the world in which we live, our place in relationship and the higher, larger universe around us. And she has a BA in social work and has worked with helping professions for many years. In 2013, Niara published a book about her experiences, healing, and insights called Facing the Shadow, Embracing the Light, A Journey of Spirit Retrieval and Awakening. Today, she's certified in Dolores Cannon's quantum healing, hypnosis therapy, and EFT, emotional freedom technique, to better help others to heal, have experienced this trauma and PTSD. Niara is also a member of Exopolitics Institute. So on that note, we're going to bring Niara to the show. Niara, are you with us?
I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
You know, you have quite a story, and what's interesting, it's a story that's I don't say common, but we've heard a lot about these same stories from a lot of people involved in the secret space fleet and in the military and things like that, where they have missing time and things of that nature, and they're dealing with that right now. We have a lot of people coming up here to clear that and find out what happened, and hopefully this show can actually bring some insights into that and some of your experiences. So on that note, I'll just let you go ahead and tell your story and cover whatever you want to cover.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is, again, you know, as you said in my intro, the social and political context in which these experiences occur, not just my experiences, but the experiences of others. It only begins to make sense and feel a little less crazy making to deal with these kinds of experiences and the memories that you're left with if you look at the larger social and political context. You know, once you really figure out, it's like suddenly you discover missing time, and what you thought of as your reality is suddenly very rudely and very abruptly just ripped away from you. And then you think, well, what the hell, you know? And so you start looking not only at your experiences and trying to cope with them, which is a big job in itself. But you think, how does this happen? And how does it happen in the United States of America and not in wartime? Because I really have the same issues that a POW would have of being taken against my will, different places, including to the moon, at gunpoint, under threat, which is basically human trafficking. You know, even if you're taken someplace as exotic as the moon, it's still human trafficking, especially when you get there and you're subjected to multiple sexual assault. And so looking at that larger political and social context is really important so that people understand what's going on. Like, I would never make a claim about being taken to the moon if I hadn't spent all those years looking at things from the Disclosure Project, the whistleblowers that had testimony about seeing pictures of buildings on the moon and seeing them airbrushed out before they were released to the public. Gary McKinnon, who hacked into the naval database and found evidence of a space-based naval fleet and a list of non-terrestrial officers. Then going all the way back to Alternative 3, that cult classic book that came out years and years ago, which I, by the way, read when I was in the Air Force. And after I read it, I thought, oh, shit. you know. Because I had to special order it from the bookstore. And after I read it, I thought, geez, I wonder if my name is on somebody's list now that I special ordered this from the bookstore, you know. So I read that. And, you know, there's just so many things that that gave supporting, in some respect, some supporting documentation to what I had experienced. And so that larger context of research and political and social information really helped me put my experiences within a context that I could accept that, yeah, these really happen. And then, of course, there's a testimony of other people who have been involved with the secret space program or have had, you know, military abductions, have had, you know, mind control problems, you know, in their life. There's so many of us. You know, thousands at least, if not more, worldwide. You know, so, you know, nobody makes this up out of their imagination and then comes forward with the crazy story to tell. This is something where there are many of us. And I wrote that book for each and every one of them, as well as myself.
Yeah, I've experienced a lot of that technology myself, so I'm fully aware of it. It's like, people went into my bedroom and they saw this double foil, you know, all across the ceiling and the walls. And they go, what's this about? And I said, you have no idea. And then I tried to explain to them, look, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's either coming from satellites or it's coming from something else, but I'm getting hit here and it's measurable. We can actually measure these energies coming in. You know, you walk in there and you get sick, you get nauseated, you know, you drop and I learned how to override it pretty much, but it's when it's constant, it really wears you down after a while.
Yeah.
But I had a friend of mine, he goes, yeah, I think you're nuts, you know, and stuff like that. And I go, walk into my room. And he did, he walked into the room and he went down on his knees, you know, it hit him so hard. And I told him, I said, you know, it's getting to a point where I can't even sleep in this room anymore. You know, it's really bad. But you know, I've had people on my show that talk about these technologies and these satellite technologies and space technologies. And you know, I think they can, we even had a person, I was feeling that energy and I walked outside and I could see across the pretty far away on the hillside, there was this gray van. With this big dish on top of it. And so I was talking to my friend and I said, let's go up there. We should go up there and check this guy out because that dish is aiming at us and we should find out who they are. And before we could even get in the car, you could see it drive off. So obviously they were listening. They knew whatever we were saying or doing and they drove off. But we've had a lot of that experience and I'm glad it's finally getting out there and getting corroborated, you know, by other people that have had the same experiences.
Yeah, I had an experience with frequencies like that. I was out hiking in the Arizona desert when I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada for a lot of years. Uh-huh. And so my favorite thing was to go out and hike the desert. I just love the desert, still do, but now I love my mountains and pines more. But anyway, I was out there all by myself hiking in the desert, and I was hiking in the direction below the Hoover Dam on the Arizona side. And as I was hiking in this ravine, I started feeling sick to my stomach. Uh-huh. And the further I went, the more sick to my stomach I felt. And I thought, man, am I getting sick here or something like that? I better go back to the car, you know, while I still can, you know, or before I'm incapacitated. And I sort of turned around, started hiking back to the car, and I was almost back to my car. And as I went towards the car, I started feeling better. And by the time I was at the car, I felt fine. I thought, well, maybe it was just a fluke, you know. So I went back and I started back on my hike again, started getting sick again. And so I went back to the car and I thought, this is the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. And then I talked to some of my in the know friends back in Las Vegas, and they said, yeah, they got some kind of big experimental station down there below the dam, and they're putting out weird frequencies. So I think it must have been VLF, you know, or ELF kind of frequencies. And I must have wandered into the field, and it caused me to be really sick, feel really, really sick. I mean, almost falling down on the ground sick. And
they definitely do have that technology. I have no doubt about it. And I had a guy who, I guess he was researching, the FBI was using it, and other people were using it. Other agencies were using this same technology as well, mm-hmm. which is quite interesting. But yeah. I was talking to, you know, once I was talking to Whitley Strieber about this, and he was talking about how he had all these crazy experiences, but the first thing he heard was gravel, like tires and on gravel coming up the road, and then everything hit the fan, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about that, and I said, well, you know, I know they use technology they've gotten from the ETs and grays and reptilians and things, and they have a delta wave device that they can drive up to your car and shut everybody down in the house, and then they have a computer to brain technology where they can insert anything they want into your brain, any experience, and you cannot tell whether it was real or whether it was something else. So mm-hmm. there's so many different things going on. So I think, you know, when people ask what's going on, I always say all the above. You know, mm-hmm. you might be influenced by entities that might be a black ops project or psyops. Who knows? You know, there's just so much going on.
Yeah. Well, there's so many puzzle pieces I found on my journey, like Dan Sherman's book, Above Black. Mm-hmm. That really keyed into my journey because he was trained to be an intuitive communicator with ETs. And then he would get data from someone projecting thoughts to his mind. And then he'd enter that data in a particular way in the computer, hit enter, and it would be whisked away to God knows where. He had no idea. But he was actually getting data on the experiences that abductees were having aboard the ship. And it really disturbed him because they would take a number from 1 to 5, and he had no idea whether 5 was the worst or 1 was the worst. And then they'd rate the experiences from 1 to 5. And he thought, man, this is people getting messed with here. And I'm not comfortable with this anymore. And he had a way that he found to get out of that job, because it was a lifetime job for him. Yeah. When he was recruited, he found a way to get out of it that he wouldn't publicize, but he did manage to get out of it with his skin intact. And then he wrote his little book. It's a very slim little volume, but I think it's really good reading. He mentioned things in there that were part of my experience, which is being isolated from the other trainee in the program. They were absolutely forbidden to speak to each other and compare notes of any kind. That was the same thing for me when I was taken out in the middle of the night in the Nevada desert and told to try our surface-to-air missile and anti-aircraft artillery radar. We had to try to track special aircraft that turned out to be either back-engineered extraterrestrial craft or actual extraterrestrial craft. Maybe there was both of them in the sky that night. Yeah. But there were several craft up there. They could not be tracked by our radar. And anyway, what happened out there was we were given fatigues to wear with no rank insignia, no name tags, no identifying marks whatsoever. And we were forbidden on pain of, you know, having guns pointed at us, that we were not to speak to each other or communicate with each other in any way beyond what was necessary to run the radar test. Mm-hmm. Then we were taken to an underground facility that had an underground component. I believe it was Area 51, possibly could have been the underground facility at Tonopah, the Tonopah base, not the town of Tonopah, two distinct places. William Pollack mentioned an underground facility at the Tonopah base in his posthumous interview. But I think it could have been Area 51. So we went into something like a medical dispensary with old chairs and waiting room equipment that looked like they were out of the 40s or 50s. I had to wait in this little room or in this waiting room with all these other people. And one by one, we went off in this little side room, got to be my turn to go in that side room. Told the story so many times by now, but tell it once more here. And when it was my turn to go in, they had me lay down fully clothed on a stainless steel examining table. Again, looked like it was out of the 40s or 50s, that style of thing. There was an armed security guard in there standing at parade rest, had a sidearm. I laid there for quite a while, terrified, getting more terrified by the minute. Then finally a guy in a white lab coat comes in the same door I entered, walks past the security guard where my feet were at the foot of the table there, along up the right side of the table, saying, "Stay calm," in this deadpan voice three times. And when he gets up beside the right side of my head, he brings his arm up and hand with one smooth movement and injected me in the side of the neck. And the chemical went straight to the brain, put me immediately in shock. And then suddenly there's two security guards on either side of me, lifting me by each arm off the table. We go out another door down a very long flight of stairs. At the bottom of the stairs, they toss me into some kind of little room or booth that had one-way mirrors. Mm-hmm. Mirror on my side, and I'm pretty sure I was being observed through those windows. I went through the effects of the injection, and it was pretty horrible. I don't know how to describe the first part of it, where the injection was just taking hold of me, but in a short while, it did something to my body where my entire body felt like it had been shot full of Novocaine. I mean, really full of Novocaine. And it was like when the Novocaine starts to wear off in your mouth and you have that numb pins and needles feeling, that was all over my body. And it was very extremely intense. And I laid on the floor screaming, curled up in a little ball. Finally, that feeling finally ebbed away. I did have a feeling also like I was coming apart at the molecular level, similar to that movie Lucy. In fact, that movie Lucy had a lot of connecting points with my experience. I felt like I was molecularly going to come apart and run down a drain. And in that movie, she looked like her molecules were flying apart in the airplane restroom, you know, in the restroom on the plane. Except, you know, mine wasn't like that. It was more like I was going to dissolve into a puddle. And of course, that didn't happen. Then I was drug out of that room and I was sexually assaulted by those two security guards while eight people watched. One of them was a gray ET, a tall variety. The gray ET present at Area 51 was corroborated, at least in part, by Bill Uhouse. He said there was a gray ET at Area 51 as a technical consultant on their back engineering projects. So that has at least that one connecting point. I think other people have mentioned a gray ET at Area 51 as well. So that's basically what happened when I first broke into these experiences. And then there was being taken to the moon and being given these clothes to wear that were like these silver shapeless sort of garments, and you put it on and it vacuum packs itself onto your body and becomes very form-fitting. And it's like an EVA suit, has boots and gloves and everything else like that. They didn't give me any kind of helmet with it, but it looks very much like that woman ET on the cover of one of Dr. Sala's books, where she's wearing this very form-fitting silver suit. And that was kind of unusual. I was put on the craft. The trip to the moon didn't seem very long, maybe 20 minutes, but the drive of the craft was pretty disorienting. So it was kind of hard to get a sense of the passage of time. And there was anti-gravity technology on the craft, I'm pretty sure. But as it took off, there was a sensation of being pressed into the floorboards because I was told to lay down on the floor for the trip. Mm-hmm. And so there was like just a couple seconds of this being kind of pressed into the floorboards, and then it was gone. And then it was just like, you know, no difference in Earth gravity at all. Mm-hmm. And so... anyway, these are the strange experiences. I have also been a contactee. I kind of identify with the Larens, and that's my star family heritage. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of Dolores Cannon's volunteer souls that I incarnated at this particular point in time to have these experiences and actually report back on them to the Laren people, who I suspect very strongly, maybe you can speak to this, I suspect very strongly that my Laren people have some kind of agreement with the USA government at some level. And that agreement says that Laren people, even Laren human incarnates, are not to be messed with. Uh-huh. And I think that's what got me out of the program. And I found out about that in a hypnosis session with Mary Rodwell, where I met my Laren commander, who was more like a dear father figure than a commander. Yeah. And he took me to the moon. He says, I'm going to take you to the moon of the past, and we're going to look at something that happened there. And I said, do we have to go? I don't want to go near that place again. He says, you need to see this. So we went there, and he showed me an exchange between a tall, willowy ET that was telepathic, and he was having this telepathic exchange with an officer in charge of my time on the moon. And he was telling the officer, you have no idea who you have there. You realize that everything you're doing to her gets reported back to her people. And I'll tell you how that was report was done in a second. But then he said he didn't have any idea. And that at that point, I believe that I was taken back to Earth. They did everything they could to wipe everything out of my mind as thoroughly as possible, possibly using something like the same technology in Paycheck, or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where they just zap the neurons around a particular block of memory so there's no pathway to get into it. But you can rebuild those neurons, you know. All you have to do is just have a little head start. So that's what got me out of the program, I believe, thank God. And then as far as reporting back to my people, I would do astral travel. I learned also with Mary Rodwell's session that I would do astral travel while I was asleep back to the Laren ship, and I would go into this glass tube, for lack of a better term, and they would, you know, pass their hand over a console, you know, kind of holographic computer systems, really advanced. The only thing that I can think of that resembles it at all is the computer systems they had in Minority Report.
Yeah.
And so they passed their hand over the console, and suddenly these sound and light waves would go back and forth, bouncing inside this tube, and it would pass through my astral body. And as it was passing through my astral body, it would upload all my experiences, all my emotions, all my thoughts, everything into the holographic systems of the ship. Then any one of my Lyran people could go to a console on the ship and relive all of that to whatever degree they wanted to do. And it was to give them a better understanding of some of the things that, that human beings have to go through down on this planet in covert ops situations. And what they do with that data is then they kind of fine tune how much they can intervene without violating a prime directive sort of thing. And so that's some of what I experienced. And then trying to sort this all out as I started getting my memories back, first discovering 4 months of missing time, and then starting to try to piece things together. I worked very hard at that. I thought, okay, let's start here. Who did I know that I knew that was at me at the Tonopah base? And I would know, I knew two women, one that I knew after I left the Tonopah base and one I knew at technical training school before I went there. And so I tried to use the memories of these two women to work my way into the big black hole that was my time working at Tonopah base. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get very far. I remembered a few squadron parties and a party out at Lake Mead with my squadron. I remembered a few things. I remembered this. This is pretty remarkable. Bud Hopkins was the one that did my initial hypnosis, and he said this was very unusual. He said, usually when you meet a partner that you marry and become engaged to and marry, you remember that really well. You know, it's a big life event to meet someone and fall in love and get married. He said, but your memories are all gone of that because it happened in that window of time where the missing time was happening. Yeah. So that was kind of a very strange thing. And I think that he was meant to be my handler, except I didn't like the control and I divorced him and boogied out, you know?
Yeah.
It was very controlling. And I just thought, I'm out of here, buddy. You know? So
there's so many levels to what's going on here. That people, I know in the UFO community, some people are saying it's all, you know, nuts and bolts, back engineered Hitler, you know, or whatever, yeah. Or it's all bad, you know, or it's all good. And I tell people it's all the above. There's so many levels to what's happening, and we need to, you know, and a lot of people don't want to talk about these things because they just want to hang out in love and light, you know, and things like that. And I go, well, yeah. You know, enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it. You need to understand.
Well, that's why the title of my book, Facing the Shadow, Embracing the Light.
Yeah. Because
I don't think that it's healthy to do a spiritual bypass and just focus on the love and light and leave all that stuff simmering down in your subconscious. You know?
It's going to come up and bite you. So, you know, the more you engage the light, the more you're going to energize that, and it is going to come up. So you got to face your shadow side, you know, that comes with the territory.
Well, there's one more thing I want to say about the ex-husband. I had an occasion to go stop by his place and drop some things off that my son wanted dropped off there. Mm-hmm. And we had a chat that was very friendly and amicable and everything. He mentioned something about seeing me on that documentary Dreamland that came out in the mid 90s, which I did in shadow. They hid my identity really badly and I was very angry and I just flew away from doing anything public for quite a number of years. But anyway, we had that talk and then I looked at him just before I left and I said, do you remember any weird stuff happening out on the Nevada test site? Because I had all these memories back now. And I said, do you remember anything weird out there? And he'd been talking and everything was cool and everything. And I asked that question. Suddenly it was like, no, I don't remember anything about anything like that. And I said, okay, bye. See you later. I'm out of there.
Do you think he actually didn't remember, or he just didn't want to talk about it and did know.
His response to me looked like a programmed response. And I think that he didn't remember, but I think the memories are down in there somewhere. He just hasn't chosen or doesn't even know enough that they're there to delve into it.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
It's interesting. Even talking about these things right now, my producer is sending me text saying we are getting hammered, you know, on the net and getting shut down, and you know, he's putting things up, and I hope this does get through. But whenever we get into these controversial subjects like that, it's amazing how you know, you can go on Skype and talk for hours with friends or things like that. It doesn't matter. And then as soon as you get into these subjects, bam, you know, you start having all these breakups and problems. And so. Well,
I know it's hard, you know, but the stuff has to come out because it's wrong for people. And I'll just say it, you know, it's absolutely wrong for people to be messed with in this way. Mm-hmm. It violates their sovereignty. It violates their basic human rights. And if people don't like me talking about it, well, you know, people have to be free. Their minds have to be free, period.
On every level. You know, people say, well, on this level, you agreed to it. And I go, well, you know, yeah, but on this level, I didn't. And whatever, you know, rape is rape. Can, you know, it doesn't matter if it happens on which dimension, it's still trespassing. You know, it's still...
Yeah.
And so anything like that is still trespassing. And you can't just dismiss it like saying, oh, you agreed to it on some other level. I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to overthrow any governments or, you know, destroy the world or anything else like that with my data. But I do feel like it's time for justice to occur. And I think that President Trump is the best chance for that justice process to begin. And I hope that it starts coming soon in the form of military tribunals.
Yeah.
And not through the civilian criminal justice. And I think it should fall under military tribunals because all these people, just like I did in the military, took an oath of service to the United States of America and its Constitution and to defend and protect it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when they violate that oath, it's treason, and there is no other word to describe it. It is treason.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I've always said that. I go, boy, this is smelling an awful lot like treason, what's going on here on almost every level. And I'm trying to figure out, I don't know how else you would define this, you know, you know, trying to take out a duly elected president and what they've done. Mm-hmm. And there's, I can't believe they're still trying to play the Russia card. It's just like,
it's like a dog with a bone or beating a dead horse, you know?
Yeah, that died a long time ago. And that's been totally debunked. And now with the laptop thing that's going on, now they're trying, that's Russian disinformation. And you're going, no, it's his laptop, period. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I'm trying to remember his name. I mean, very high officials have come out and said that, you know, the head of the intelligence agencies have come out and said, no, this is not from Russia. This is his laptop and it's pure. It's on his laptop. But well, I think, I think between that laptop and then Wiener's laptop and a few other laptops they've got, and I know they have everything, you know, because Admiral Rogers, when he was, you know, head of the NSA, they have everything. Yeah. There's nothing they don't have. They have all the evidence. They know exactly what's going on, what's transpired on every level, even with the negative ETs, you know, all that. They have all that. And so the big question is, it's what are they going to do with it? You know, are they going to go forward and stand up, you know, for the American people? Or are they going to continue to cower and play these other dirty little games?
Well, it'll be very interesting next 4 years once Trump wins the election. And I do believe he will win the election. And I believe that he's going to sweep the election in such a powerful way that that even the malfeasance that they're trying to do with the voting process isn't going to, it's going to be swept away in the wave.
It's going to be about 70%, even with all their malfeasance, you know?
Yeah.
But, I, you just, they can't sell it anymore. They've got this big sack of crap, and they've been selling it for a long time, but now it's so rotten and so smelly, they can't sell it anymore.
Well, when I wrote my book, this was the thought that really compelled me. First off, you know, I went public. I think, well, I'll just tell people what happened and then I'll be done with it, you know, and then I can kind of go back in my private citizen hole. But it didn't turn out that way, because people got so hung up on the, you know, woman sexually assaulted in Black Ops project thing. And it was like all this drama. And it's like, you know, it's been so many years since that happened. I have come to terms with that. And I've had spiritual awakenings, like shamanic awakenings, you know, how shamans usually have a traumatic experience that rips away the fabric of their reality. And then suddenly they know things and they see things in a particular way. Finally, I just thought, you know, by staying silent, I'm allowing this abuse to go on for other people. Once I had that thought, there was just no going back. And when you write a book like this, it's a life commitment. It becomes a mission, whether you planned it to or not. And you cannot turn your back and walk away from it. You can try.
Yeah.
But it just is never going to work if you're the kind of person that I am, that believes in duty and honor and believes in my oath of service that I took as a Air Force personnel. I just can't walk away from it. I can't turn my back on it. And the world I would purchase by my silence is not a world I want to live in.
Yeah. I bet you've had times you wanted just to walk away and go live in a cabin in the woods.
God, I would give anything to just be a gardener and take care of my house and my dogs and be a dog mom. I would love that. You know, maybe in the next 4 years of President Trump, that kind of world will come into being and I can do that. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I've always said that. I always tell people, they go, what's your biggest wish? And I said, put me out of business so I don't have to cover these things anymore. Mm-hmm. I said, make your own personal connection with Creator, you know, and I said, same thing. I'd rather be gardening and fishing and I used to love walking my dog, but it crossed over, but he lived almost 24 years. He was older than dirt. You know, I'll probably get a new dog here pretty soon. And that's where I'm at, you know, just get out in nature as much as possible. But I do balance that out now. Before I was like 24/7 doing this other work. And now I feel like the snowball has been pushed over the hill right now. And just recently it's totally pushed over the hill. And it's going to be rolling right now, and it's not as much work, but we all still have to do our work. But I have solace in the greater plan, the greater consciousness and energy, the higher dimensional beings and what they have planned and everything else. And I just don't think no man can stop what's ready to unfold here.
I don't think so either. I have one friend that's decided, you know, she knows all this stuff. She's been involved in looking at all this stuff for many years. And she just told me that she's not going to vote at all this election. And I said, what? You know, and, you know, whatever she's using to justify that decision, it's her business. You know, she told me a little bit of it and I just felt like it was kind of a cop out. But we choose the world. Choose the world that we're going to live in by the choices we make. And an election like this one, it's not just another four-year election. No. It's a fight for our liberty for the next 1,000 years at least. Okay, it's not just another election. Yeah. And the choices in front of us for this election are going to affect our lives, our children's lives, and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren's lives for years and years and years to come. And I think we have a responsibility to show up and vote in the best way possible, that for a world where there is no more pedophilia, where there's no more mind control programs, where there's no more people getting messed with the way I was messed with and so many other of my compatriots have been messed with. We need to vote for a world that's going to be free and just and positive and loving for all of us, for all of humanity, and not just all of humanity, all life on earth, because I love the natural world. I love animals and trees and birds and insects. I love it all. It all has its place to be here. And we've got to vote for something. Now people are saying, but Trump is for fossil fuels and everything else like that. Well, as he says, it's optics, you know, it's optics. You know, he knows about the Tesla stuff. He's got Tesla connections in his family. Okay, but can he come out and anger his constituents by saying, well, we're going to do away with fossil fuels and we're going to bring in free energy? He can't do that. He has to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, but if he's the person that I think he is, once he's in for another 4 years, we're going to see a phase out of fossil fuels and an implementation of free energy technology. And I think that he would love being the man to bring that to the world, just knowing him as I am, as I have seen, you know?
Yeah, there's different layers to Trump. And I tell people, I said, you have no idea who he is on another level, what he's connected to, and the force behind what's unfolding here. And like you're saying, a lot of it's optics. Mm-hmm. A lot of it may look bad on one level, but what's really, if you know his heart, and that's what I think people have just lost, that inner sensitivity and you know, all this MK Ultra nonsense, mind control stuff is totally being implemented through the lamestream media, and people can't see it. They don't understand it. And I watch people just, they have no critical thinking. There's a total absence of research. They haven't done the research. And they have no inner sensitivity whatsoever. And they're just running off of they're socially engineered and running off their emotional wounds and traumas that they've used, and they've brought these things up and created all these divisions and separations. And the party that's creating all the divisions and separations are the very ones that are blaming everybody else for creating the divisions.
I know.
So it's such a paradox when you look at it, you go, this is such doublespeak. This is such a mind screw going on.
Yeah.
Who's going to get it? You know, who's going to figure this out, and who's going to just continue, you know, as, you know, a social engineered, critically thinking and research impaired, useful, whatever, idiot that they call
it. Yeah, it's hard. But, in the beginning of my book, I talk about the bubble world.
Yeah.
And the bubble world is this controlled, engineered, indoctrinated reality that most people live in. You know, most of the world lives in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it talks about this one girl, which I meant me.
Yeah.
She was living in the bubble world, and somehow she wandered a little too close to the boundary of the bubble world. And she got snatched away into this other world outside the bubble world where all these terrible things happened to her. And then suddenly she got thrown back into the bubble world, but she didn't belong there anymore. And that's me, you know, because I had all these experiences, and you talk to people about them and they look at you like, what? You know? And
Truman Show.
The problem is that bubble world, if we don't have Trump, that bubble world is going to continue to collapse and collapse and collapse and collapse until people realize that, oh my God, you know, we didn't vote for Trump. We chose a different reality, and look at what's happening. They're taking away our children to be raised by the state, so we don't fill their heads with ideas. There's no more religion. We have to practice our religion as much in secret as we possibly can, because they don't want religion interfering with the indoctrination they want to put on us. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just so many things that, if you're not aware and you haven't done the research, you're not going to make a wise choice.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried to tell people things in my book, and I said, I'm not trying to scare you in my book. What I'm trying to do is like being on the Titanic. The ship is sinking. Get to a lifeboat. Don't just go back to your stateroom and order tea, because I'm just saying such negative things, you can't handle it. The ship is going to sink, you know, and... Sorry. Anyway, that's right. Kind of what I meant, you know, is that bubble world that we've all lived in for so long, it's been collapsing on us for a long time. And that's why so many people are waking up now, because they see more and more people are see. But then there's those holdouts that are still in that collapsing bubble that aren't going to give up their paradigm until, you know, it's right put in front of them. And I hope they do take over the airwaves and broadcast all the military tribunals and all the crimes that these people have committed. I hope they do broadcast it 24/7 over a 10-day period, so people finally will have their, that indoctrinated reality will be ripped away and they will be forced to confront the truth. And I hope it's not too rough for them. I certainly will help them through it if I know anybody.
Yeah, all of their icons are going to fall. You know, yeah. Their Hollywood icons, mm-hmm. their political icons, mm-hmm. even the religious icons are going to fall. Yeah. And they're going to find out all of it's been usurped and it's a controlled narrative right now, all of it. And when that comes down, what are they going to, you know, a really interesting thing. I did a lecture in Australia and I talked about the real history of Earth and what's really unfolded and everything and the origin of religion and the bearded gods and who they were and everything. And when I got through this whole thing, this guy came up to me and he goes, I'm just lost. He goes, I don't know what to say. He goes, I've been a Catholic all my life, you know, and now you just destroy everything. And I said, well, actually I didn't. I just gave you the real history and I'm not taking God away from you. There is a God, but it's just not what you were told. It's not the bearded gods of old.
Right.
There is a divine intelligence, whatever you want to call it, creator, great spirit, you know, and it's omnipresent. It's within everyone and everything. And I've died a couple times and I've experienced it and I know it's real, but it's nothing like what we've been told. And so I said, don't give that up. Don't just remember it's within you. It's not external. It's within you. And I think that's what a lot of these people are going to do. And they just need a little bit of handholding through this process and just say, hey, look, you know, hold on to your ideals, hold on to you're going to have to make some changes in your reality and your thinking process, mm-hmm. you know, but it's going to be good, you know, in the end, it's going to be great.
It will be. But I think that's why we see so much insanity in the world today that just makes me scratch my head and think, geez, what's going on? But I know what it is to have your reality ripped away and have to rebuild it a brick at a time. I know what that's like. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. But I think that's what accounts for a lot of the insanity we're seeing in the world, is because these people know their paradigm is collapsing and they are railing against it in whatever way they can. And it looks like insanity to us that know what's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, they call it end time madness.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. And the people that are able to, you know, assimilate this new consciousness and energy and these frequencies are going to make it. And there's a lot of people that just aren't frequency specific to this shift and what's happening. And those people that focus on the greed and the power over others and control and everything, they're very low frequency. They aren't going to be. Their hearts are constricted. They aren't going to make it. A lot of them are going to have heart attacks and just drop. Uh-huh. You know? But, you know, no matter how much technology they have, they're not going to be able to function anymore because they're not frequency specific to the world that's mm-hmm. coming. And having seen that and know that that's coming, you know, I have hope, you know, but I also have compassion for the people that are going to be hit by these frequencies. They just are not going to, and they've chosen that path.
Yeah.
They've chosen that, you know. So.
Well, I hope that we live through this, through these end times, into the new beginning times.
Yeah.
Because after the end times comes the new beginning in those times.
Yeah, we hope it's not a total collapse. It's more of a transformation. And that's what needs to happen. And, you know, a lot of people that are anti-government, anti all this other stuff. They want everything to collapse and fall and everything else. And I said, well, you know, even all these riots and everything that are going on. I said, and then they wake up in the morning, they go, oh, let's go to breakfast. Oh, wait, we burned that restaurant down, you know. Well, how about dinner? Let's just go to the grocery store. Oh, that's gone too. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go to the gas station and get out of here. Oh, we can't get gas, you know, and then the trucks aren't even delivering to some of these places.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's you know, they're destroying their own people and their own neighborhoods, and mm-hmm. and that has to be that, you know, that they have to come to terms with that, you know, no mm-hmm. lives matter with these people, and yeah. and they're mm-hmm. socially engineered, and they're actually being duped into participating in their own enslavement and their own demise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, these people that are doing all the violence, the Antifa people, they have no idea how disposable they are.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just being used right now. And if Trump was not to win the election, they think they're going to go on and be somebody important in the new order. They're probably going to be lined up and shot. Because
yeah.
the people in charge know that once these people find out what they've supported is taking over the world, those people would rise up against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so they would just be taken out and shot and disposed of. That's the yeah. really sad part. They're just being used.
Yeah, and you know, if they can inspire them into all this violence and everything else, and then the police or the military have to respond to that,
mm-hmm.
more, that's part of their plan too. They mm-hmm. people don't realize that. That's part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, basically, you know, it's, I'm just really hoping they figure it out quickly and yeah. fast.
And the whole defund the police thing.
Yeah.
About, you know, Lori Lightfoot, the Chicago mayor, said it. She said, we need a police force that does not swear allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. We need them to swear a different allegiance. Well, that's going to get her before a military tribunal right there, that statement.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Because what they're talking about is they want to get rid of the police force that swears an oath to the Constitution of the United States and bring in NATO troops, bring mm-hmm. in troops that have an allegiance to the New World Order. That's
yeah.
what they want to do on U.S. soil. Now, that's treasonous right there. And I really hope we have the military tribunals and hold these people to account for that crime.
Well, it seems like that is the agenda of the whole mm-hmm. Democratic Party right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
There are a few in there that are waking up, that are mm-hmm. starting to call it out. Now, I want to put them all in that, pigeonhole everybody into that. But
right.
they need, the people within the Democratic Party need to go back to Kennedy, you know, and what he stood for, and mm-hmm. step up to the plate and say enough's enough. We're not going to mm-hmm. allow this to happen as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've just got a few minutes left. What's the best way for people to contact you and get a copy of your book? Well,
I don't keep copies of my book here at home too much anymore. I've moved several times and most of them have been sold. And the best way to get my book is on Amazon. Go there and do in the search field, Niara Isley book, and it'll come up. Because so much of the information in it is important and I want people to have it, for those people that can't afford a book, if you go to my website, facingtheshadowembracingthelight.com, you will find a PDF copy of my book available there. And I haven't posted very often, but I do have a post that's up as the most recent post, and you can download a copy of my book there in PDF format. But if you can't afford the book, I urge you to get it, because A, if you have a hard copy, you don't have to be exposed to EMF while you're reading it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm learning how bad EMF is for one's health. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if part one and two are too triggering for you, if you've had mind control experiences or abduction experiences or traumatic experiences involving sexual assault, skip ahead to part three, the part called Awakening. And in that, you're going to get things about consciousness, about how to handle criminals in what I hope would be a very just society. You know, there's so much information there. There's stuff about freedom and responsibility, and the truth sets you free. But when we have freedom, we have to wield it responsibly. We can't go trampling over other people's freedom. Okay,
yeah.
So there's so much enlightened information in there that came out of all my years of searching and seeking and spiritual practice. And I just wanted that book to be the best and brightest and most hopeful vision. And this is the one other thing that I would say. It's us, humanity unified in consciousness, that hold the keys to the castle. Our consciousness has been indoctrinated and farmed and managed down through the ages for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, to spin out a version of reality that works for the elites and keeps us subject to them. And that means that if we came together in unified consciousness and decided we wanted to institute a whole new consciousness paradigm for this planet, we could do it. But we can only do it in love. We can only do it in coming together in love and unity and caring for one another in an agape sort of love. Uh-huh. And I'll close there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Great note to close on. We're out of time, unfortunately. I just got the notice from Robert, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing your story. And I hope everybody gets your book and realize, you know, we need to focus our light on the shadow side, realize what's happening here so we can bring everything up into light for healing. And and again, thank you so much for your work, and we'll all be sending you prayers and for protection.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just been wonderful to connect with you, and I'm very grateful. Thank you so much, Jim.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, you got to sign off right now. Keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent. That will get you through these times, and have a great evening. Good night.